Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What happens when a rating, an economics rating, drops from AAA to AA? We're going to find out a little bit later in the show. What does that even mean?
The batteries don't fit?
Whose rating has dropped? Why are we talking about this? Well, we'll find that out coming up here. Peekless Mountaineer has that story. It's Ian Peekless Mountaineer and Captain Kickass with you tonight. We've been talking about the dire situation that the newspaper business and the news business in general is finding itself in. If you want to weigh in on that, you're welcome to join us. In fact, that's where we're going here with Josie on the line in Virginia. Josie, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hello, hello. I just wanted to tell you that it's Gannett newspaper business.
I mispronounced Gannett. Apparently, the Gannett, number.
Yeah, don't. You can call him up if you don't believe me. My husband was in the newspaper business, however, and I've heard it.
If I called him, I wouldn't expect anyone to answer the phone. That's the only problem. It doesn't seem like there's anyone there.
Isn't it? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they do manage to stay in business. I am very much concerned that people are not being informed before elections, for example, or when they are deciding on who they want for their congressman or senator. I mean, I think people are often just voting because they the party's change and they're not, and the man that people want to kick out of, some people want to kick him out.
Well, we found that was true when our co-host Aria DeMezzo, who's sadly now in a federal prison camp in Devens, Massachusetts, for the dastardly non-crime of selling Bitcoin without a government permission slip, when she ran for office here as a candidate for sheriff as a Republican, she got a ton of votes in the Republican primary. She won the Republican primary because she had an R next to her name. And they didn't know. The Republicans had no idea they were voting for a tranny, you know, a person who, you know, red hair, is an anarchist and an atheist or whatever, you know.
That's the problem. That is a problem.
Satanist.
What in the world are we going to do to get the people informed before they vote?
It's thing, Josie. I mean, you said you hope Gannett stays in business, but the problem is, even though they're in business, doesn't mean people are getting informed. As the story,
that's another problem. Yes.
So the story that we're pointing out here from NiemannLab.org that is getting into the numbers about what's going on with this, the largest newspaper company that has, well, they had hundreds of papers, but they've closed more than 100 of them, is that they've slashed the staff down so low. There's literally hardly anyone working at these papers. So what you're seeing happen is the worst kind of syndication, where these quote-unquote local papers are all being filled with content from the top, meaning that there's not really any local reporters anymore working the beat.
Local. That's just the problem. Yeah, exactly. Right. You're exactly right. Now we have the Richmond Times-Dispatch here in Richmond. However that's done is, I mean, when they say they don't have a person's name, the reporter who did the article, and the article would be some hard left something or other, God knows where, and they say, I can't remember the name of what they use. It's a sort of a generalized name that they give, and that's not informing. Now we have people like John Fredericks here are in the area, and also he's buying newspapers in Pennsylvania and other places, and he wants to, he says he's trucking the truth.
John Fredericks is the owner of, I happen to know the name, he's the owner of radio stations that we're on that air Free Talk Live in Virginia and a couple of other states. And
that's
we're on
right.
the stations on the weekends live. Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that he's trying to breathe some life into.
And with regular, at least with the radio talk shows that he's put together, that's good. But if you're talking about newspapers, well, what he is made is like virginiastar.com, but it's a .com. But if everybody, I don't have a computer. I don't do computers. I don't like them. I don't want to get the radiation. I don't want any of, anything to do with them, but I do like the way we used to do things. However, if but people are not going to the star, virginiastar.com or georgiastar.com. It's just, maybe they are some.
So just to clarify, like he is not printing an actual print paper?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, Josie, I mean, whether you like it or not, that's the direction things are going. And
I agree.
Gannett and these other companies that are trying to keep the old ways alive are doomed, you know, for the old ways of doing things. It is never
going. It's so nice to have something in front of you. And if you want to cut out an article and show it to somebody or whatever, it's just so nice.
I don't disagree with you, actually. I like the physical.
I do disagree, actually. Like, the one advantage I find is that they can't remotely change the story on you. But, I mean, you can have your story in front of you, and when you want to share it with someone, you don't have to physically be present with them to give it to them.
That's
pretty convenient. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though, and I'm not an old person, right? Like, I'm in my 40s. When I had The Onion, the print version of The Onion that I had a subscription to, I literally read that thing most of the time, cover to cover. Now, I wouldn't always read the AV section completely, but the full, like, actual Onion paper part, I would read every single story in that because it would sit next to the toilet for an entire week. And, you know, I had enough time, and it was an interesting enough paper to where I could do that.
I was that way with Mad Magazine.
As soon as they stopped printing The Onion, I barely ever looked at the website. So there was just something about having a physical thing. It was just like it felt like you'd completed it when it was done.
I agree.
Well,
you know?
And maybe that's a good
thing.
Well,
how are we going to be informed?
By doing research. Finding things out.
You bring up a very good point, and that is the Internet versus the newspaper. I mean, it doesn't matter so much which version of the media you're getting. The information has been out there. Josie's talking about, you know, how are people going to be informed with such things as like voting for their next, you know, mayor or congressman or whatever. The information is out there. The problem is no one looks at it. Everybody votes from their gut. They vote in the same way that they choose which drive-through to get their burger from, right?
Well,
just the one that's most convenient.
To our whole country.
Yeah, no, I'm just generalizing how people vote.
It's a terrible detriment. I just don't know how we can tell people that this is not the truth. I mean, so many papers that are out there are leaving half of the story out because they don't want people to be informed in this direction. They want them to be informed only in the direction that they are going in, which is left. Which scares me to death.
That's always been the case. Yeah. Like this isn't new. Mm. Newspapers have always done that. It's just that they're finally getting caught.
Josie, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you here. The number is 603-283-6160. I mean, it has always been a challenge, as you point out. The media has had a certain slant. And the way you deal with that is by creating the competition that brings the eyes and the ears to that alternative. Yeah. And the Internet has made that more possible now than it ever has. But it's still hard.
Let's not pretend that government interference with, like, Facebook and Instagram, for example, is just the first time they've interfered with media. No. They were doing it with newspapers a long time ago. It was just a little more difficult for them to do at that point. So, you know, the media itself might change, but it seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same.
So per capita newspaper circulation has been declining in the U.S. since World War II. This is from NeimanLab.org. So it's hardly shocking that it's still dropping. If you're the New York Times, you might have been able to more than make up the loss in print subscribers with digital ones. But for most local papers, digital gains are nowhere near big enough to stop the print bleeding. And still, Gannett's newspapers stand out for their steep angle of their decline. We're talking about this failure of the number one news company out there, quote unquote, in the paper business. An important caveat up front, different paper companies use different standards and make different choices in the numbers they report, and those choices can change over time. So Gannett has stopped reporting some of its digital subscribers to the Alliance for Audited Media, for example, and some papers still count many more non-paying readers than others. Comparisons across papers and years are always going to be imprecise, but these are the numbers they are reporting to the industry body. Here are the Sunday circulation numbers for the pre merger Gannett's largest local papers, according to their own filings with the Alliance for Audited Media. They're going to compare two numbers here, two sets. Quarter three of 2018, this was before they merged with the second largest news company, to then 3 years later, quarter three of 2022. Sorry, 4 years later, quarter three of 2022. You're looking at huge declines. Detroit Free Press, from 217,000 subscribers to 103,000. That's a 52% decline in 4 years. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is from your neck of the woods,
pronounced,
right?
Milwaukee Urinal. It's a soft J.
Apparently people have figured that one out because it went from 170,000 to 75,000, a more than 56% decline in 4 years. I'm just skipping some of these things. The Des Moines Register, down from 129,000 to 39,000 people in 4 years. That's a 69% decline. The Indianapolis Star, down 74% from 196,000 to 50,000.
This is in a four-year span?
In a four, from quarter three 2018 to quarter three 2022.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time frame that they're cutting back staff and just being brutalized.
What do the decline numbers in telegram transmissions look like from 1800 until now? Right, it's
quite a bit.
It's a reflection of the tech. Right,
yeah,
it's
absolutely
literally a reflection of the tech.
Absolutely.
And these newspapers should die if they're going to.
Yeah. And their readers are dying off.
So Denver had two main papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had somewhat different political slants. They were both a little bit lefty, but one was way more left than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have different perspectives, and that would be kind of how people would those of us that care about such things would try to get a more balanced perspective on a given story. And I remember when they merged, and it was because internet had come into place.
How long ago was this?
Oh, this was like 20 years ago, honestly. So, yeah, it was because the internet had come out, and we had better ways of getting information, so these two were merging. And I remember that. I'm like, this is a sea change, because what had been at least on the surface, had been competition. And now, we're not even pretending that there is a competing narrative here.
You mentioned,
there is a single narrative for Denver now.
You mentioned the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
What's important about that in relation to what Peekless just mentioned, those used to be two different newspapers.
Oh,
it used to
also
be the Milwaukee Journal and then the competing Milwaukee Sentinel.
And
they also merged in the same way as the Denver newspapers did and became the Milwaukee Journal / Sentinel.
And so they actually provide another chart just by means of comparison to look at non-Gannett papers, other papers around the country that are, not owned by this mega conglomerate. And just to give you an example, the Seattle Times, Captain, where you used to live, is only down 2.9% in that same four-year period, so from 259,000 to 252. Some of them are down more significantly, like the Miami Herald, down about 40% from 122,000 to 73,000. But none of these other papers are 50, 60, 70% reductions. They're maybe 30 or 40. They're still dying. They're still going to perish. It's just not as bad. But he says, I haven't yet mentioned the most important Gannett paper.
Okay.
USA Today.
Oh, yeah.
In quarter three of 2018, USA Today reported a total daily circulation of 2.6 million.
Yeah.
In 2022, that was down to 180,000.
I remember, I'm old enough to remember when USA Today was a brand new newspaper.
Yeah.
Like literally, there were commercials on television for it. They were like, now you can get the most, I don't know what their slogans were or whatever, but they had, they would show on their television commercials the new shape and design of their newspaper box. They redid newspaper boxes and all that kind of stuff. And that was their advertising, their marketing campaign to get people to read their newspaper was to do television ads.
Wow. Let's see what other things to point out here. Oh, he asked Gannett for a comment on their decline, and their spokesperson sent this statement. Gannett continues to make tremendous progress on our strategic priorities, which include a focus on increasing digital growth. We have an increasingly engaged digital audience with digital-only subscription revenue growing nearly 30% year over year. Digital-only subscriptions grew to over 2 million during the fourth quarter of 2022. Since the second quarter of 2022, paid digital-only subscriptions have outnumbered full access or print subscriptions. So What is that? You know, does that mean that they're going to be able to survive in the digital age? Well, what it does mean is that they're going to have like a USA Today basically for the whole country, and there's going to be very little local anything. I think there's a different story that I have that actually gets into, we're not going to talk about it tonight. I didn't put it into show prep, but I did read through it, and it was all about like the last guy that quit at one of these Gannett papers.
Yeah.
Like there was literally one guy, and they would have to like cook up stories essentially for the whole state of whatever newspapers there were in the state. And the radio business had this happen as well. You mentioned consolidation, Peakless, where at Clear Channel, which is now iHeartMedia, they would what happened was they brought in a computer automation system in the late 1990s,
right.
And like the writing was on the wall then. It's like now you can have some guy in a different city record audio that can then be shipped instantaneously to a different city,
right.
And that person can go, quote, on the air when they're not even in the studio. They're not in there at all. They don't live in the marketplace, but they're a different voice for the station. And they started replacing all the overnight people,
right,
with like the afternoon drive guy in Tampa was doing overnights in the town that I lived in, south of Tampa. You know, so they're cutting costs in that way,
right,
and just consolidating as much as they possibly could. So we've seen this happen where the sort of the content came from on top, from corporate. If you ever went to like an iHeartMedia, it's probably still true today, if you ever go to one of their websites, and then you go to a different website of a different iHeart station in a different state, you'll see the exact same news story,
right,
is there at the top of the website. And that's because there's like a central clearinghouse of stories that they're putting out there, and then the local stations are just kind of picking up a feed.
Yeah. Well, it begs the question for everybody listening or thinking about this topic, what is news? And then, if you can define that, what is the news industry? Right? Because it seems to me that there really isn't or maybe shouldn't be an industry of news. There should just be news, right? And it should be written and brought to you by, well, the people who, you know, think it's worthy of sharing.
Well, and that's actually a really old argument, and there was some very heated debate back in the day about whether or not news media should be allowed to do advertising.
Right.
And most countries came down on the side of no, if it's the news, it can't be advertising.
Right.
And this country came down on the side of, nah, it's fine, we're a capitalist country, it's fine to advertise. And I mean, it cuts both ways, honestly. It's just trade-offs. What I think it was Hayek that said, there are no solutions, only trade-offs. And that's exactly what you get with the question of, will you allow paid advertising for news media?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, if your job is coming up with what is worth telling about, that seems a little sketchy. Shouldn't you leave that to human beings?
Right.
But It's tricky, though, because people live in different worlds now. I mean, now more than ever. I mean, to the first point is just like, okay, the left versus the right. But and that's your primary divide of, like, completely different worlds.
Yeah.
Of, like, are we under attack from white supremacists, or has our rightful leader been ousted? I mean, like, completely different worlds.
Yeah.
So what is even true at that
CNN
point?
CNN versus Fox News, for example.
Right, yeah. Let alone something like... So us, for example, if you tell your average person, well, the government said X, Y, and Z, they're like, that's the truth. That is gold standard, 100%. I can take that to the bank. That I am sure that that's what's happening. Now if you tell us X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, well, where'd you get that? Oh, the government told me. We're like, you know, I believe it less than average now.
Yeah. Or probably going to do what I just did, which is laugh at it.
Right. Right, so I mean, that's a completely different world.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to find out exactly how we're going to solve the problem, because it used to be just there was only this information available.
Well,
so we all knew it. Well, this is the information, the news.
I think news, just like everything else, should be decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's news to me may not be news to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, is it a thing I care about? That's the first question, right? No. Okay, well, then I don't need to see it, hear it, or read it. If I don't care about it, you know? if somebody else in my community or my circle, my Dunbar number of people, mm-hmm. you know, bring something to me and is like, hey, Captain, I think you should check out it. I'm going to be mm-hmm. more than willing to check that out because of the person bringing it to me. You know, if I have respect for that person and I think they're a reputable person and they, you know, care about me and all that kind of thing. But if it's some giant media conglomerate company feeding me something, yeah. I just have no use for that anymore.
Well, we've seen some of the decentralization. Seymour Hersh, if I recall, is now on Substack. Mm-hmm. And I believe Glenn Greenwald ended up on Substack. So some of the biggest reporters in the last four decades have broken away from the old media, either because they got fired or because they saw, again, the writing on the wall. And they knew what was coming. They saw the subscriber numbers. I mean, how long are you going to stay? If you're a respected journalist and you are working at one of these Gannett papers, if you still have your job, that is, because they've slashed more than right. half the employees, and you're looking at the subscriber numbers dropping by thousands every single year to where you can go online and maybe you put something really important out there and you can have way more subscribers on your own right. website that mm-hmm. you have total editorial control over, right. that's got to be really attractive mm-hmm. to some of these people.
And that's going to be the real solution to this problem of like, oh, well, do we advertise or not? Well, let's try both. We'll have some people reporting information and also, you know, trying to shill and pitch and having supporting advertising. Yeah. And other people, like they'll do the Seymour Hersh model of like Substack. Okay,
right.
I won't try and sell you anything, but if
just
you want
my
me
reporting.
To, right, but if you want me to keep talking, you better give me some money or I'll have to do something else.
Who is the most effective journalist in our lifetimes?
Hmm.
Well, that's a tough question. Somebody else still alive, or
yeah. most effective journalist in our lifetimes?
Yeah. I'm not too familiar with the world of journalism, so I don't know if I can really answer the question. I mean,
I'm not
Hersh
either,
is
but
a good, is
I've,
a good
I've
example.
Got a good, I've got a good stab. It's Julian Assange.
Yeah,
WikiLeaks specifically,
yeah.
because
yeah.
nothing WikiLeaks has ever put out has ever been debunked in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
Or proven false.
That's true.
And I would easily make the claim that he has been, through WikiLeaks, the most impactful mm-hmm. of journalists. I mean, a lot of what we're seeing right now with the distrust that we have in media and in government exists because he uncovered the facts.
Right.
Here's the evidence that not only did media not tell you the truth, they knew the truth and then didn't tell you.
Right.
And then fed
right.
you this false narrative.
This is what I like about the exodus of news people, personalities, if you will, from news companies, right? Because now they themselves are saying, hey, what I'm doing isn't right. I'm going to go over here now and do it the way I want it to. And then their followers, they're building their brand. They're going to be followed by the people who respect them and listen to them and that kind of
and
thing.
And they're going to get people who've never heard of them before, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, as long as that grows, that means more competition, more decentralization.
Right.
Everybody wins.
All right, there's more coming up. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. A judge has refused to grant a delay to former President Trump's lawyers. His legal team has a Monday deadline for a protective order request from Special Counsel Jack Smith in connection to an indictment for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. Two Florida police officers are expected to recover after they were shot during a traffic stop Friday night. Orlando police say the officers stopped a vehicle that had been carjacked. The suspect was killed in gunfire by police. Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman Josh Sills has been found not guilty on charges of first-degree rape and kidnapping. The team released a statement that Sills is back on the team's active roster. At the movies, Barbie will win in its third weekend since being released. It's expected to top $450 million domestically. I'm Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. If you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the decline and the inevitable decline of the news business, quote-unquote, specifically the newspaper business, but television news isn't far behind. I'd just like to point that out. Radio's hanging on, I think, pretty well in comparison, but all old media is struggling to stay relevant. That is an absolute fact. But newspapers is worse than it's ever been. And the number one company, which is like being the number one form of cancer or whatever in this particular case, is apparently, I was mispronouncing it earlier, we had Josie call in Virginia to correct me, it's Gannett, apparently. Gannett, which is the biggest owner of newspapers in the country, has been slashing jobs. Their subscriber numbers have been plummeting. They have a fraction, in many cases, of the subscribers. The USA Today was their readership numbers. Just to be clear, this wasn't actually apparently a subscriber number. It's just circulation. Because remember, that includes like what they call the pass-around rate, where if you buy a paper and then you give it to your mom to read or something, that counts as two people, even though they only sold one paper. But the circulation for USA Today, which is their top paper, went from 2.6 million to 4 years later, this was 2018, in 2022, that number was down to 180,000. And then their paid print circulation was 579,000, down to 134,000. This is in just 4 years. But this article over at NiemannLab.org, which I think is really well written, it's got a lot of interesting numbers in it, and it's well presented. He says, let me finish by looking at just one Gannett paper, the one I grew up reading, the Daily Advertiser of Lafayette, Louisiana. It's far from the company's most important paper, number 109 in circulation among their dailies, but it's important to me. He says, I read it nearly every day. Mm-hmm. Lafayette is a city of just 121,000 and the hub of a region of 500,000 people. Here's what happened to the Advertiser's Sunday circulation. That's the big one, right? That's where all the advertisements are. That's where if you're going to buy a paper during the week, you buy the Sunday paper, right? In 2015, it was 26,885. And I'm going to skip through some years. 2018, which was the numbers we've been comparing, 14,670. Lost 10,000 wow. subscribers in 3 years. To 2022, down to 3,996.
Less than $4,000.
Yeah, lost another 10,000 subscribers in just 4 years. That's an 85% decline since 2015.
You know what numbers I'd like to see decline like that?
The government supporters.
Yeah, that's right. So when you get numbers like that, boy, wouldn't life be grand?
The numbers include both print and digital, though. And remember, the statement from the company that we read earlier that he got was all about pumping up their digital and how great the digital was doing, right? Remember that statement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at the digital numbers for the Lafayette, what was it called? The Daily Advertiser.
Which is a horrible name.
Yeah,
for...
that's right. At least they're being honest.
I guess.
But 2015... they had 1,421 digital subscribers. Not a lot, mind you, but something. 2018, still 1,473. They grew by 50 in 3 years. 2022, 468.
That's not growth.
That is a tremendous cut in digital subscribers. But then again, why would you subscribe? Why would you continue a subscription to a quote-unquote local paper that continues to gut any local content? And he gives an example. So all that decline has come amid round after round of budget cuts. You can debate the direction of causation, how much the cuts were driven by declining revenues versus how much the declining revenues were driven by the cuts. But in the end, the result is the same, a newspaper that is today an embarrassing product.
Yeah.
The Advertiser reported having 17 newsroom employees in 2020, and it still had a handful of people covering hard news as recently as last year. But a combination of cuts, buyouts, and escapes left it with exactly one local news reporter by January of this year.
Wow.
Its staff directory is stuffed with reporters who left months ago. There are now days when zero news stories out of Lafayette are published. The copy hole is filled by stories from Wires, Gannett's one reporter, State Capitol Bureau, one guy, so they got one guy covering, quote-unquote, the whole state, or other Gannett, Louisiana papers, all of which look like thinly reskinned versions of each other. It misses obvious stories, it runs press releases, and error-filled copy. Its morning email is stuffed to overflowing with stories about LSU basketball, simply because Gannett actually has someone outside the Advertiser who covers LSU basketball.
Right.
The local college team in Lafayette is the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns, and they had a big weekend. On Monday, they won the Sun Belt men's basketball tournament, meaning they'll go on to March Madness and the NCAA. I told you I'd had this story for a little while.
Yeah.
For the first time since 2014. Was this mentioned in Tuesday's newspaper? No. Was the fact they were even playing in the conference final mentioned in Monday's newspaper? No. Probably the single biggest local sports story in the past year, and you wouldn't know about it reading the Advertiser.
Okay, so this is... I'm trying to combobulate my thoughts here. The guy who wrote this article found out about all these, we'll call them obvious stories.
New stories, yeah.
Right? So what this is like information widely available to everyone who wants to go and find it.
Sure.
He was able to go and find these particular pieces of, we'll call it news, right? So it's not that the news isn't being published.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that...
it's not where it used to be, though.
It's just that if you're a fan of this basketball team, you're going to go to their website or subscribe to their newsletter or whatever it is. You're going to get the news about that team in some other way than your centralized town newspaper, right? In Keene here, for example, I keep seeing the Slantinel run articles that I think I'm like... really? You just, like, went to, like, a website and regurgitated whatever was published there. There's a restaurant that opened recently, and it was not quite plagiarized, but if you read the article in the Keene Sentinel, and then you went to the website of the restaurant,
they plucked it off the website?
It would have taken me 5 minutes to read the website and then go, brrr, a story. Right? So, like,
to be fair, though, I did hear about the website through the Sentinel story. Not because I read the paper. I'm not a subscriber. I just, you know, it showed up on Google News or something like that, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, that, and I also think that the Sentinel may be doing advertorials to some extent. I suspect,
advertorials?
Yeah, I suspect they're doing more of that now.
Hill, look at you.
This is, it's a term in the industry.
Okay.
I'm sure most listeners are familiar with the free daily, or not daily, but the free weeklies in their in your area,
oh, yeah,
which
yeah.
are just straight up advertising,
yeah.
right? The old terminology is you call them the fish wrapper, because that's all they're good for.
Yep.
There's no actual news. It's just stories about the local businesses who paid them to write about them.
Right.
Right. And so it seems like the Sentinel does a lot more business profiles these days than they used to. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, if that's yeah. the way they can get the bills paid, then good for them. I mean, I have found out about new businesses in Keene because of their quote-unquote coverage of them. But that's just my suspicion. In that case.
But do you think that you would not have found out about these businesses at all without them?
I think I would have heard about. I mean, it's a small town, right? So you know, word gets around about.
So you might have talked to people that would have told you about these businesses existing, especially if, for example, the food was any good.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm getting at is the news. These stories are being published,
mm-hmm.
just not by
in the old ways.
The yeah. news. Companies, the old, you know, well, the dinosaurs.
Well, and the thing is, they can let any story fall through the cracks as long as it doesn't support their narrative.
Right.
Is that the thing? Oh, well, they didn't tell you about, you know, this local event. Like, well, does that convince you that global warming is real?
Yeah.
How is it getting elected? People elected?
Do you think the local fair needs the local newspaper to write an article about it in order for people to attend? No, because the fair does advertising for themselves.
I think I saw one of the bandit signs.
They have a marketing campaign, yeah. right? You know, they put ads on the radio, whatever it is, right? They mm-hmm. don't need the local paper to, like, be like, hey, everybody. But they do it, right? But that's just because it's a legacy thing to do. People used to need the monolithic news mm-hmm. because, like, it was, like, before mass broadcast, right? So they needed this thing, and they needed people to, like, report on things and give them. Now information is so readily available. There's so much of it for you to weed through that you really only need to take in what's important to you.
Speaking as a reader, he says, it's just an abomination of a newspaper. Lafayette residents are lucky to have a few other options. The local TV stations, while nothing special, keep up with the usual TV news basics. A local nonprofit outlet named The Current does good work, but its small size means it has to pick its spots. Most importantly, the Baton Rouge paper, The Advocate, has invested in a Lafayette edition that does more Lafayette reporting than the actual Lafayette daily paper. In the five core Lafayette zip codes, The Advocate actually has more print subscribers than the advertiser does. So the outsider paper is taking over some of the market. But not every community, he says, is so lucky. When the local paper stops reporting, there's often no one else to take its place. Everyone gets a little less informed about the world around them, and Gannett has increased its local ignorance at a scale no other company can match. Maybe Alden Global Capital should be giving thanks for Gannett, too, not just the other way around. So what I hear you saying here in this, Captain, is that the fact that these papers are dying off doesn't really matter because there's so many other options for people to connect with and that we shouldn't be bemoaning the fact that these things are going away and being replaced
by they're dying off.
Well, and so there's two aspects to it. Like you pointed out, like, if you're interested, then you can go find it, you know, here, there, or there.
Yep.
But there's also, like I was saying, if you actually trust that source.
Right.
So, like, yeah, this source, you know, if I go on to, you know, the James Corbett. Yep. Now, I trust that source.
The Corbett Report.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone else goes on to there, they might be like, oh, my God, that tinfoil hat conspiracy guy?
Right.
There's no good that's going to come out of that. Okay, great. You stay over in your lane, I'll stay in mine. But the important thing to me is that people are, instead of information coming at people, people are going out and searching and finding. People are exploring their world. So instead of it being, you know, the dangerous thing has suddenly knocked down your door, be afraid and trust your government. Instead of that, it's, hey, what is going on in the real world? Let me explore. Let me find out. And the best thing about that is that it activates two completely different parts of your nervous system, one of which is capable of creative solutions, the other of which is your fight or flight.
Well, most businesses today have a social media presence or more than one social media presence, whatever the plural of that is, and they have email newsletters that you can subscribe to, all that kind of stuff. So businesses themselves are reporting the news. Like, if you're a business and you're not self-reporting on your own news, like if you're a restaurant, you're like, hey, we changed our menu. Right? You don't need the local paper. You tell your people, your customers that yourself.
But wait a minute. You're talking about promotional stuff. You're talking about advertising stuff. You're talking about businesses just trying to get people through the door. This guy's talking about journalism. This guy's talking about an independent report, you know, maybe criticizing that business, maybe something that that business did that people need to know about. Maybe they were dishonest in some way, shape, or form or whatever, right? Like trying to hold businesses and hold government people accountable. I mean, that was the original idea behind the, what do they call it, the fourth column or something like that.
Yeah.
The media was supposed to hold.
The fourth branch, right.
Yeah, that the media was supposed to hold these organizations accountable. It failed, right, because of the centralization and all that.
They're obviously not doing that.
But
so.
I mean, isn't there something to the complaint that in some areas, if a newspaper goes out of business, there may be some amount of people out there who aren't going and clawing around the internet to see who's reporting on things in their town. Maybe they've just given up. There's no newspaper, so they're But what if there aren't people doing that locally? I mean, I don't know, right? Like I could freekeen.com is a website that I run here in Keene, and it's an activist site, okay? So it doesn't purport to be journalism. It is activism. It has a viewpoint.
It does have journalism within it though.
And not if you use the standard definition of like
being editorial,
being objective. It has editorials. It certainly does report on news sometimes, but it's not doing it on a consistent basis. We've broken some news stories over the years, and I'm really happy about that.
Sure.
It's enjoyable to be able to do that, and some of them have been pretty big. But it's not a business, right? It's not something that I focus on. It doesn't have any kind of revenue. We're not paying anybody, right? So there's nothing really there that can...
How many of those sites do you think exist in the world?
Well, that's what I'm asking about. Like, people in your local area, aside from the legacy media, what sort of choices do you have? Have you actually gone and done what the captain is suggesting is going on, which is people are going out there and searching for information? Well, there has to be something to find in order to conduct that search successfully. So are you finding things? Are there actually people out there who are subscribing to, say, local bloggers or some sort of independent, Josie called in about the Virginia paper, quote unquote, right, that's not actually in print because it's insane to print a newspaper. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. But to put some reporting online, that can happen. So how many of these sort of local hubs for information are there? Whether we like it or not, I mean, it's still valuable to have news in one place, isn't it? Or at least news in a few different places.
I mean, maybe, but let me ask you this. How do libertarians get libertarian news?
They share it on social media.
Okay. Is there a libertarian news outlet that libertarians subscribe to? Is there a libertarian newspaper?
I don't know. Is there?
I don't think so. I've never heard of one.
So, I mean, there's like some libertarians
still get news.
There's some libertarian organizations like the Foundation for Economic Education. They do great writing regularly. And so I think you could count some of those as libertarian news. Right?
I mean, but they're not traditional news,
not hard news
outlets, right? Yeah, They're not. They don't call themselves a news outlet.
Yeah, you're right about
right?
that.
So,
yeah.
But yet libertarians get all of the news that libertarians need. So, yeah. Is traditional news fulfilling a market demand? I don't think so, because otherwise they wouldn't be dying.
So let's talk about downgrades, Peekless. You had a story tonight about the AAA rating. Of what organization, precisely? They had this AAA rating.
That would be Fitch. I think it's the number
Fitch
3.
Fitch gives the ratings.
Yeah, it's which organization had the AAA rating? Well, that would be the United States.
The federal government of the United States? Okay.
Yep.
The, and this is like a rating of creditworthiness? What are they rating?
Exactly. They're rating the USA's creditworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be a AAA rating and now is a AA-plus rating. So no longer are we at the heady heights of say, Denmark. Now we are at about a New Zealand-level credit rating.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it could be worse. We could be as low as the European Union at their AAA, because we've got, or their AA, because we've got a AA+.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, this one's weird, because... So in 2008, like the great financial crisis, there were, again, there's like three big ones. That's Moody's, S&P.
Dun & Bradstreet.
Yeah. See, I don't know about that one, actually.
Okay.
And Fitch. And of the big guys, only one of them reduced the American credit rating from AAA to AA+ during that financial crisis.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and wouldn't you know it, in short order, the CEO of that company got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you know it.
Yeah, I actually heard about this on Peter St. Ange. He was reporting on this just a couple days ago.
Yeah, absolutely great. He's got a podcast, you know.
He does, yeah.
He has a weekly roundup podcast. I love that.
Who's not a news agency, by the way.
Mm.
That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah. No, he does really great work.
Well, he does like a 3-minute video cast every single day, 7 days a week, mm-hmm. and then he puts it all together as a weekly podcast. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing there.
Yeah, it's fantastic work that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
And the thing is that it's very, very political. Like, mm-hmm. this whole thing is entirely political. That's why, like, wait, you just had a giant collapse. Mm-hmm. You'd think maybe you were less credit worthy there. But, well, most everyone thinks you're just as creditworthy, and one who doesn't, well, they got fired.
Creditworthy meaning that these guys will pay on their debts.
Right, right, right.
think they'll pay.
Right. Which, so there's two parts of that, right? So there's the nominal payment, which... Sure, absolutely. America will never miss a nominal payment. I feel faith that you will get the number of dollars that you are owed.
Mm-hmm.
However,
what will they be worth is the question.
Right. That's the other side of mm-hmm. it is, how much will those dollars actually be worth? Because the more they print money, the less those dollars are worth.
Right.
And the less people actually want to loan you money because you're printing more and more money. So it's, again, that Cantillon effect of, like, okay, well, that was worth this much when I got it, but it won't be worth that when you get it.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you actually pay these people off, well, if you've doubled the money supply, then it doesn't matter if you got a nice, hefty, like, 10% on your loan there.
It's meaningless.
Right, because you may as well have just stiffed them by half mm-hmm. in the process. Right, so... The thing that this says to me is it's just a continuing marker of, like, the fall of the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this has a lot more to do with what BRICS is doing than with what America's doing.
And we don't really know what they're doing quite yet. We talked about BRICS a couple nights ago on the show. They've got an annual meeting coming up in about 3 weeks where it's rumored, apparently, that they're planning on admitting some new BRICS members, which already BRICS has 42%. Not yet. We got to secede first.
Well, no, can't we secede by joining BRICS?
That's an interesting question. But already they have 42% of the world's population under the five BRICS countries. Right now.
Mm-hmm. How much?
42%.
Wow.
Yeah,
42%. And that's just
wow.
with those ones. And there's...
China and India have more
and
than
there's like,
people.
Of course, yeah. but...
And there are a lot of people who have... Like, there are a lot of countries who have expressed interest, and I think it's like 22 of them that have officially applied for membership in
something
this
Something like that, yeah.
So it's wild. And that's the thing. I think that this shows that Fitch is like... looking for the exit on their dependence on America, And at any rate, it shows that they are very clearly no longer terrified of what will happen to them by questioning America's creditworthiness.
Well, I mean, maybe in a couple of weeks, their guy is going to get fired like the other dude did in 2008.
We learned from the past that people seldom learn from the past.
He turns up in a strange accident on a train tracks or something like that.
Well, maybe, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. And part of this is that... basically, if you sort of read between the lines, what it seems to me, at least, is that what they're concerned about is that that the uniparty of America is falling, is that there is actual, like, competition between Republicans and Democrats, that they can no longer agree on screwing the public every single time, because they simply won't agree on how they screw the public at this point. I mean... it's kind of nice to see a really powerful organization that's just as irritated as I am at the fact that, what is this, every single year we have to worry about whether the debt ceiling gets raised? And every single time they do this, it's this huge, complete nothing burger.
Yeah.
It never was anything. It never will be anything. But, man, do they make political hay about it. Like, every
sure
single opportunity. Like, during that window where they hadn't raised the debt ceiling and it was obvious that they needed to, every single thing they did, they would grill the Republicans aren't raising our debt ceiling.
Right.
And it's like, that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're here to talk about, but you're going to talk about it anyway.
Yep.
And the thing is, that, in theory, could actually lead to a default, is by simply refusing to raise the debt ceiling. And
that's what they wanted to avoid.
Yeah, and it looked like this time the Republicans were actually demanding that something different happen, that there be some kind of fiscal responsibility. It looked like that. And the fact that they even flexed like that has Fitch
scared.
Jake has
been watching too much wrestling, man.
Well, the thing
is Fitch in the U.S. or the international?
They're international.
Okay, so they may not have the same, they may not be under the same strictures or pressures as some other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but the very fact that they even looked like they might apparently scared Fitch so much that they're willing to downgrade them. Because it looked like maybe the Republicans actually would demand changes to the fiscal system and the monetary system before they would pay this money.
At the very least, it looks to Fitch a little less likely that the U.S. government's going to honor their agreements. Right. We're out of time on the radio show, but you guys are back in about a half an hour, 10:30 Eastern Time, for Beer Talk Live, episode...
I don't remember.
52 or something?
We're close to 48, maybe 49.
You can watch it live. Just go to watch.freetalklive.com and come back in about a half hour to watch.freetalklive.com. We'll see ya.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.